For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To the glory days at the stick. From who's got it better than us to brick by brick. It's always the 49ers way, from off season to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers cutback.
It's 49ers Cutback Podcast time. Welcome to the show, everyone. Abe here, and I got a special guest with me. It's Jay in the Bay. How's it going, Jay?
Faithful Niner Empire. What's good? You know who it is. It's your boy, Jay in the Bay.
Man, it has been a minute since I have been on the 49ers Cutback, man. Appreciate you allowing me the opportunity to come on your show tonight. That 49ers Cutback intro never gets old. Definitely one of the best 49er intros out there in YouTube land. And congrats in order to you, man. You reached 5,000 subscribers. That's a huge milestone, man. A lot of hard work, and you deserve it, man.
I appreciate that, and you're right. It has been a while. And it's good to talk to you. I know you haven't had as big a schedule as you used to have in the past. Things change, family things come up, and everybody kind of does their thing. And it's been a grind. Lots of things have changed since me and you first had conversations way back. I mean, you were around the channel way back when we first started, and things are different. And so, yeah, it's always good when I get to have you on. I love your insight. There's actually been people, you probably don't see all the comments, but people ask about you all the time. And it's because you have a very unique way to go about talking 49ers. And I love always getting your opinion. So, yeah, I'm glad that you're on. This is going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. Appreciate the kind words. Huge shout out to everyone that's in the chat right now. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And Tommy says I'm sounding a little rough. Am I sounding rough to you as well?
Is your mic on right now?
It's supposed to be on.
Let me
go check the mic. Yeah.
Okay. Because I can hear you clearly, but it doesn't sound like the mic is on right now.
Okay. Is that better?
That's better. Yeah. Way better. Yep. There we go.
Much Tommy. So full disclosure, right before we went live, my whole setup took a little kaput there. So it connected me to the camera instead of the mic. So we're good. We should be good to go now.
Yeah, we good. Yep. Sounds much better. Cool.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So thanks to Tommy for, you know, hitting us with that. And we got Jose in the chat as well. It says Niner Pride for life. So yeah, I mean, if you guys jump into chat, go ahead and leave comments. We're gonna go through our show, but we'll highlight what you guys have to say. We always like to be interactive on the show. It's bet online time. It's playoff time, and the usual suspects are heading to Vegas for the championship. And our partner, Bet Online, is your number one source for football odds, stats, trends, and lines. With everything from point spreads to hundreds of bets on everything from the coin toss to the color of Gatorade, Bet Online is your number one source for your championship wagering. Head to Bet Online today and get into all the action. Bet Online, the game starts here. And I titled the show, Jay, which 49ers will we get in the Super Bowl? Because I think this is one of the interesting things. We've seen different sets of 49ers through the year. The first part of the season, gangbusters beating everybody up. Cowboys get obliterated. Then you have a stretch. It's like we lose, come out of the bye. Here they are, gangbusters again, blasting everybody. And then now you get a situation where you've had a couple of shaky games, even though the 49ers come out on top. So I ask you, which 49ers are we getting? Are we getting the one that blew out the Cowboys, Jaguars, and Eagles? Or are we getting the 49ers that had to come from behind in the playoffs? Which one do you think we're going to get in the Super Bowl?
Whew, man, that is the billion-dollar question. You mentioned the Jaguars. We were coming off of a bye week. I thought in that game, we didn't come out necessarily firing, if I can remember correctly. I think we had a great second half that really shut down the Jags. What's good? What's good, Blue True? Appreciate you coming through and everyone else that's coming through in the chat. Appreciate it. You talk about the Cowboys. Like, we always get up for the Cowboys game, and the Cowboys have gotten blown out by a few teams this year. So, you know, that's not really a huge shocker. But, you know, what team can we expect? Well, in the playoffs, we came out flat against Green Bay, but we still had our foot on the pedal, and we continued to play, and we became victorious. Same thing happened against Detroit. Detroit had a lead up on us. I'm not sure what to make of it. You could maybe say the Green Bay game. The Green Bay or Detroit game, it was raining in the beginning. I believe that was the Green Bay. Right. So, some of it you could say it was the weather. I don't know if anyone, you or anyone in the chat that's throwing a football in the rain, like it's it's pretty difficult thing to do, especially when your hand is wet, and it's even more difficult to try to catch a ball. So you could say, hey, it's the weather in the Green Bay game. The Detroit game was really no excuse. I'm not sure why this team gets off to a slow start, but I don't think we can afford to do that against KC. I know their offense isn't how it was when we last played them, or I should say in the Super Bowl in 2020 when they had Tyreek Hill. They had a younger Travis Kelce. I think they had Sammy Watkins, I believe, was still on that squad. So, I think they're a much different squad now than they were before. But I think the 49ers need to get off to a great start, start off fast. I don't know, maybe no huddle offense. I know Shanahan, he only loves to run no huddle offense when Sam Darnold is under center for some reason. But hey, why not go up tempo fast, surprise the Chiefs, do something they're not expecting, try to get points up on the board, you know, as fast as you can. I think that's something that would surprise me, would surprise the Chiefs, because it's, we don't really have a no huddle offense. So the Niners need to get off to a fast start. I think they will against KC. That's what I'm expecting, them to get off to a fast start.
Yeah, I think that's what we saw early on in the season was the 49ers were great front runners. They would get it going. They scored on their first drive. Most of the time it was touchdowns. And then after that, they just would get a stop on defense. Next thing you know, the other team's down 14 points, and the 49ers are burying them with the run game, being able to pin their ears back on defense. And that was a different type of game that they were playing. Now, I think the defense has proven and the offense has proven that they can come from behind, but that's not what you want to do when you're playing a team like Patrick Mahomes that has weapons, and he still has Kelce. He still has guys he can get to. Rashee Rice has been a nice pickup for them. That was a great draft pick. But I think when you're looking at the Niners, you're looking at a team that really needs to get out fast in this game. And if they get out fast, then that's when they can rely on the things and the advantages that they have against the Kansas City Chiefs, which is the run game. The 49ers run game should be very successful against the Chiefs. They went against the second-best run defense last week of the Detroit Lions, still able to reel off over 100 yards, of course, some of that Brock Purdy, but 90 yards by Christian McCaffrey. When the 49ers rush for 75 yards or more, they're 12-1 this season, as long as McCaffrey runs for 75 yards or more. So I see an opportunity for the 49ers here, but I think you're right. They need to get a fast start. They need to play from the front. I think that's when they'll have the most success. And Tommy had a question for us. He said, are you guys nervous? Jay, I lost your audio. Are you muted?
Sorry about that. As we get closer to game day, yeah, definitely getting nervous. Obviously the biggest game of the year. And, want to go out on top and want to win it. But, hey, the Chiefs are a formidable opponent. And it's going to be a back-and-forth game, I expect.
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't always get nervous. I think as the week goes on, I get more hyped, more excited. That's kind of the old coach in me, is that you're kind of like putting together preparation. By the time you get to the game, your nerves have kind of went away. You have full expectations of what you're seeing from the opposing team. You know what your job is to do. Now you're just excited about getting the opportunity to go out there and do it. So I think there are little nerves during the week, and then I think once it's time to strap it up, you're ready to go. Now, the only thing that's different is I have zero control, right? As a coach, at least I had control of what the outcome was going to be, calling the plays, putting my players where they needed to be, but not when it comes to this. So that part's a little nerve-wracking during the game, but yeah, I don't think it's really nerves. I just think it's more excitement. I get really excited for it. And Randy Daytona, Randy Elite Daytona, by the way. Yeah, he says, hey, Ant and Jay in the Bay. Yeah, always good. And he was asking, yo, when's the last time that we've seen you guys together? Have you been just missing you? It's been time. I mean, what's it been? Last year, I think, is when we were right. still, you know, putting out shows together. But us yeah. doing a show together has been even longer.
It's been a minute,
I definitely like this, you know, better. I like working with you, even though I was producer before behind the scenes.
Right.
It's a lot of fun because I always enjoyed your five big things, and that you had angles that were just good. I liked them. They were different thought process than a lot of people. I like hearing what things people see. Everyone sees it different, and so it's always fun to kind of see, you know, what people are thinking and how they're angling each thing. I always enjoy it. That's why I listen to a bunch of different people to get their perspectives. I listen to, you know, you and Baller and Celts and Amin the Dream. I'll listen to that show. I kind of get everyone's thoughts on things, especially after the games. It's on Monday nights. So I always enjoy that. And then, you know, listen to a couple other people too, just to kind of get their perspective. Sometimes I agree, sometimes I don't. That's the fun of it, right? You get to disagree or agree, and that's what makes it fun.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And everyone sees the game differently. Some, like, you see it from a coach's eye. I've never been a coach, so I see it from a fan perspective. I also love to play Madden, so when I see the plays, I'm thinking of Madden. What would I do in that situation? So, yeah, it's always fun to hear different perspectives. I had a question for you, though, in the chat. You know, what would be – if you could talk to Kyle Shanahan, what would be your message to Kyle Shanahan before the start of the game?
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. And
I can go first.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I would just tell him, you know, keep the game plan simple. And I know this might sound crazy, but, you know, be conservative. You know, your dad won two Super Bowl rings with the Denver Broncos. They weren't throwing the ball, the hell out the ball. They were running it with Terrell Davis. We have the best running back in the NFL, UCMC. This is the final game of the year, 30-plus carries if you have to, plus he'll add another, you know, 5 to 8 in the receiving game. But just keep the game plan simple. You know, take shots when you need it. You know, we know Brock can deliver the ball anywhere on the field. But I would use CMC, the best running back in the NFL, and, you know, allow Brock Purdy to hit throws when he needs to. But I don't think we should necessarily see empty sets in the first drive. And we don't want, I don't know about you. I don't want to see Brock Purdy throwing 40 times in this game. Part of a great defense should be our offense. We should, you know, win the time of possession. You do that by running the ball and not allowing Pat Mahomes to have a lot of possessions on offense. So my message to Kyle would be, keep it simple. You know, CMC had 2,000 yards from scrimmage. Use him, work off play action, and, you know, take shots when you need it. But I would just run the ball. And as you mentioned it earlier, the Chiefs' run defense is basically a mediocre all year. They've just been average. So, you know, hit them where they hurt and also use your strength.
You know what? I think what I would tell Kyle Shanahan, I like what you said, because I think at times, you know, people are definitely saying Kyle needs to be more committed to the run. So I get it for sure. I think I would tell Kyle, just be you. Trust your instincts. Trust what got you here. You know your team better than anyone else. You know what you're looking at. You've done the preparation. Just make sure you go with what you feel. I think sometimes Kyle gets in his own head and he outsmarts himself, outthinks himself. Don't do that. Just go with your first instinct and do what you're supposed to do, because you have a tendency in big games like this to call things or do things you wouldn't normally do. But I think if he lets the game come to him, he gets determined what the play is going to be by what he sees in the defense and what the defense is giving him. I think that's when the 49ers are going to have the most success. So, yeah, I understand completely that 49ers need to focus on the run game here. But Kyle needs to trust himself and trust his players to make the plays. I think if he goes in with a mindset that is not that way, he's going to get caught up in some bad situations because Spags is a very good defensive coordinator, and he'll make you pay for it if you get in your own head. Don't outsmart yourself. Do what you know you're supposed to do. Get the ball to McCaffrey. Get the ball to Debo. Get the ball to George Kittle, and let Brock Purdy operate this offense. And I think if they do that, they're going to be just fine.
No, absolutely. And I would also add that if something isn't working, you have to be quick on your feet and make adjustments, whether that's, subbing out players. What's good, Libby's World? Whether that be subbing out players, whether that be, you know, changing up something that's not working to something that you think will work. Don't keep beating your head if something isn't working. Change up, and that goes for sideline Steve as well. If you're playing zone in the beginning of the game and you're getting cooked, maybe push those corners up. I think we know that Pat Mahomes is going to try to get rid of the ball quick. He doesn't want to have to I don't think there'll be many 5 to 7 quarterback step drops. Because you got Bosa, you got Chase Young, you got Hargrave, you got Armstead. So I think that's one thing that the Chiefs did well against us in the regular season in 2022, where they beat the brakes off of us. They got rid of the ball quick. They didn't allow the 49ers pass rush to really have an impact. And I think adjustments will be huge. We know Andy Reid's one of the greatest coaches to ever do it. So, make some adjustments if things aren't working. And figure out what is going to work.
Yeah, and what's up, David Villa, for coming through. Always good to have you in the house. And, you know, you're right. You got to be quick to think on your feet. And that was one thing that I did enjoy watching Steve Wilks do last week. And I know he catches a lot of criticism. And, yeah, it's been taking second-half adjustments to adjust to what teams are doing. But he started subtly adjusting during that game and making some things happen for that defense early. And I thought that was really smart and a way for him to get out there and really make some plays and to put his guys in better positions to be successful. But you're right. They got to think on their feet. They got to make quick decisions. And I really think this is one of those weeks where you break tendency, things you would normally do. If you run normally, 65% on second down, well, guess what? That should be something you do later on, or third down or first down. Throw on that second down. We know Spags blitzes a lot on second down, so take advantage of him in the blitz. I think this is a week where you zig when you normally zag, and you just try to catch them off guard and keep them off balance the whole way. And I think doing things they wouldn't normally do, hand the ball off to George Kittle on a jet sweep, do stuff like that that, hey, you're not planned for, you're not expecting, and it might throw them off a little bit. And I think that's something that you can kind of expect in Super Bowl games, the preparation, 2 weeks. You're throwing the whole kitchen sink at these teams, and I think you're right. Thinking quick on your feet and coming up with things that they haven't seen before are going to be pivotal in this game.
No, absolutely. It's interesting that you say you should zag when they think you're going to zig.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I was thinking, like you said earlier, do what got you here. But obviously, if that doesn't work, then change it up. But I'm also excited to see what plays we haven't seen from Kyle Shanahan. I'm sure there's a bag of plays, maybe a dozen, two dozen plays that we haven't even seen yet. And I'm intrigued to see, what tricks he pulls out his bag on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah. And I mean, you can look at kind of the recent history of these guys matching up. They've matched up three times. Mahomes is 3-0, but more recently, 2019, 2022, were their meetings. And the way that Andy Reid attacked them was very much, on the perimeter as far as screens and things like that. Mecole Hardman with the jet sweeps. Those things are coming. And then when you look over on the defensive side of the ball, they were giving up points. I mean, Jimmy G threw some bad interceptions in the Super Bowl. He threw a bad interception in that loss. The first game Christian McCaffrey was ever in San Francisco. There was mistakes like that. Limiting those mistakes are going to be huge. Or I think both of those games could have went different, had different outcomes. Even though that one in 2022 looked like a huge blowout in favor of Kansas City, it was really tight for most of the game. It got out of hand in the fourth quarter when things just started falling apart. But I think these two teams are pretty well matched. It's going to be a fun game.
No, absolutely. And I believe there's a stat when Brock Purdy doesn't throw an INT, I believe we're undefeated. So I think that's going to be key for Purdy and this 49ers offense. You know, don't make that big mistake. There's a saying, if you pray for rain, you can't complain about the mud. And we love Purdy when he throws those spiral passes in between two defenders or right above a defender who's jumping. He throws it perfectly at an angle where it goes above and right into a receiver's hands. It's pretty when it works, and I love it when it works. But if it doesn't, then we have a problem. And Purdy can't make that big mistake. And, you know, the Chiefs do have a talented secondary. So that's why I think we should lean more on the run game. Also work the play action, get some bootlegs, get Purdy. And that's something that I wanted to talk about later, but definitely get Purdy out of the pocket so he can see the field. Chris Jones is going to be huge in this game, I think. Speaking of matchups, I'm sure we'll get into that later, but it's going to be important for Purdy to be on the run, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. And if you go back and you watch 2019's film, it was boot pass, boot pass, boot pass. Hit him with the outside zone, get him moving one direction, create open space. You're right. That's definitely something we're going to get into. One thing I want to talk about is the defense, the run defense. Can the 49ers fix the run defense? Because we've seen two straight weeks of crack toss, get outside and get big plays. Detroit was absolutely hammering the 49ers in the first half. Second half, 49ers played it a lot better. But you're going to be going against a team that's predicated on speed. Isaiah Pacheco, 4-3. McCole Hardman, 4-3. They have a lot of guys that can get it done on the outside. And Andy Reid's one of the best to scheme it up. Do you think the 49ers can slow down this Chiefs running game? Can they fix the problems that they've had throughout the playoffs?
I hope so, but I don't think so. Pacheco's a really good running back. He's a ferocious runner. He looks for contact when he's running. We've been gashed multiple times, whether it's Aaron Jones in the playoffs, whether it was David Montgomery and Gibbs. It didn't matter if it was up the middle to the sideline. A lot of teams, I believe both teams ran for over like 140 rushing yards against us in each playoff game. So it's going to be critical. I talked about making adjustments before. It's going to be critical for sideline Steve. I don't know what he's going to do. I think one game this season, I saw we started off on our first series. We had five defensive linemen. I think that's something that we should at least attempt to do. Possibly bring in a safety into the box. I think the most important key is you got to slow down this running game. It's not only demoralizing for the defense to continue give up chunks of yards. The Chiefs will be winning the time of possession. They will be getting first downs. Also, that's less time for your offense to work on the other side of the ball. So it's going to be paramount to stop the run. I know it may sound crazy, but make Pat Mahomes beat you. But I just don't think they have the same weapons. They don't have Tyreek Hill. They have MVS, who is a speed threat, but his hands are questionable. Now, kudos. He did make a hell of a catch in the AFC Championship game that sealed the game. Kudos to him. But I don't think he really strikes fear in the 49ers defense. You just don't get beat deep, you know. But I think if you bring in maybe another defensive lineman, you bring in another safety into the box, you have to honestly overcommit to stop the run due to the fact that we've been so poor against it in, you know, in the playoff games and in some of the December regular season games. So I hope they can at least slow down Pacheco, but I don't think they will completely shut him out. But it'll be interesting to see the commitment Steve has with stopping the run, because I think that's paramount. You can't get gashed in the run game and have Pat Mahomes, you know, having a successful day on offense, throwing the ball.
And Daryl with the super chat says, hi, our D needs to exploit the A and B gap with Javon Kinlaw. And thanks so much, Daryl, for the super chat. You are the best, Daryl, you know, member, one of the greats. So appreciate it, Daryl. You're right. Javon Kinlaw is going to have to be a big part of stopping this run game. And stop plugging those A-gaps. It's going to be huge. There were some of those runs from Detroit that were just right at the 49ers, and they weren't handling their run gap integrity. They weren't making sure they were in the proper spaces that they were supposed to be in, and a lot of it was falling on Oren Burks. The Detroit Lions attacked Oren Burks pretty consistently, and then they found advantages when they went to the outside and taking advantage of our safeties who weren't running the alley, our forced defender not coming up and setting the edge. And I know a lot of the conversation is going to be about those defensive ends, Nick Bosa, Chase Young, but in those toss crack plays, that's not their responsibility. They got cracked. Yeah, you'd like to see them fight upfield and try to make a play, but that pitch a lot of times is out there as far as they are. It's that force defender, it's the alley defender that have to make the play. And then in some cases, it's the linebacker coming to stop the cutback. And so I think execution-wise, the 49ers weren't executing at the level they're capable of for a couple of reasons. Either Diamondre Lenore maybe went underneath something or did something he doesn't normally do, or Jair Brown came too far upfield or too far outside. They just have to make sure they execute the right way. I think the 49ers should come out in this game and try to make Kansas City beat them up the middle. Take away those outside plays early, give a little bit extra leverage to the outside and make them run up the middle. They're probably going to be without Joe Thuney. They're going to have Nick Allegretti. He's still a good player, but yeah, Kinlaw and Hargrave and Armstead, maybe they can handle it in the middle. And if that happens, then maybe you could actually slow down this run game. All you have to do is kind of peep the Raiders film and you can find some ways that you can stop the Kansas City Chiefs. So is it easy to do? No, but it definitely has to be something you're dedicated to doing. And all the while, you have to worry about Patrick Mahomes gashing you with an RPO and hitting one of those open receivers when you're biting into the run. So it's difficult, but I think it can be done.
No, absolutely. We just haven't seen it in the playoffs. So can Wilkes figure it out in 2 weeks? Can the players, as you said, you know, be disciplined? That remains to be seen, but I hope so. It's going to be very important for them to do it because I don't want to see another game where we're getting gashed in the run game. So it's definitely something has to change, and you know, hopefully they get it together on Sunday.
And Daryl with another super chat says, please fam, let's help Ant-Man out. Hit that like button. Thank you so much, Daryl. Yeah, hit the like button, subscribe to the channel. If you don't follow Jay in the Bay, go check out his channel, follow him, give him a like. He deserves it. He does a lot of good stuff. So thanks so much, Daryl. I really appreciate that. And David Villa had a question here before we continue our topics. He said, if we win the toss, do we receive or do we defer? This has been one of the big topics, Jay, is the 49ers have often chose to defer. Yeah. In the playoffs, it hasn't worked out. Green Bay, right down the field, scored. Detroit, right down the field and scored. But typically, the 49ers used to turn that into 14-point swings. What are your thoughts on this?
Oof. You know, Shanahan loves to defer, and I would be shocked if he didn't defer, if he won the coin toss. I know he likes to receive the ball in the second half, and we've been very successful with receiving the ball in the second half and going down and at least getting a field goal. But, we would love to get a touchdown, of course. But I say we still defer. I just would love to see a stop. Get a three and out to open the Super Bowl, shut down the Chiefs offense, get the ball. That would be, you know, your perfect scenario.
You're right. That's the perfect scenario for the 49ers is you get that three and out, you get that stop, and then you turn it into points. Because if you start making the Chiefs play from behind, by the time you get to that 2-for-1, that last 4 minutes of the first half, that first 4 minutes of the second half, if you have the opportunity, you might be able to stretch it to 3 scores. And I don't know if anything feels more comfortable than 3 scores against Patrick Mahomes, because 2 does not feel good, but maybe 3 would. And so I think Kyle Shanahan's going to stick with what he does. I think he's going to defer. He's going to count on his defense to go out there and get stops, because he knows getting that ball in that 8-minute stretch at the end of the first half to the beginning of the second half could be pivotal in determining who wins. Because when you score in those situations, you often double up and have the opportunity. But I think it is at least a conversation right now, but Kyle Shanahan, he knows what he wants to do, and I think he's going to stick with it.
No, absolutely. And you mentioned like the last 4 minutes of the first half. What I would love to see is Kyle Shanahan have a plan for that. It seemed like in the game against Detroit, you know, they were just lollygagging, just wasting time, and then you had to settle for a moody field goal, which got blocked. So it's like, you know, have a plan. If you get the ball, let's be aggressive, go down the field. You don't necessarily have to throw deep every play. I'm not saying that, but at least have some sense of urgency. You don't even necessarily have to huddle up. You could call 2 plays and then you run your first play, and then you go straight to the line of scrimmage. You can audible out of that play or run the second play. But just have a sense of urgency, like you know what you're doing, and you're not confused on the sideline. Like any player from Madden knows about, you know, clock management. And it seems like Shanahan, he's not sure what he wants to do in those situations. So it's kind of frustrating to watch. But, you know, hopefully if that situation arises again, right, he has a plan and it's executed.
I remember that exact sequence, and I kept wondering, like, why are we going so slow? Like, I didn't quite understand it. Now, I will be honest, I always go back and watch the film and break it down, and I know what it was. So you remember the play where George Kittle's waving for everyone, hey, hurry up and get back, hurry up and get back. Kyle Shanahan dialed up the absolute play to get Brandon Ayuk wide open inside the 10-yard line. Conley ran off someone vertically. Jennings ran off someone vertically, and they had Brandon Ayuk on the deep crosser, and Brock ran out of time. Colt McKivitz got too much, you know, allowed too much pressure. They weren't able to get it. But if he'd have ripped it, they would have been first and 10 inside the 10 at, or I mean, first and goal inside the 10 at least. It probably would have been a touchdown, and then we wouldn't have been saying that. But the situation is, right, they didn't get it done. So then it makes Kyle Shanahan look like, what the heck are you doing? You ran out of time. But that's one of the risks you run by not going faster. If you went faster, you probably could have been closer, gave yourself some shots at the end zone. So it's a catch-22. How do you play that? And I think, yeah, if it worked, if it would have executed, everyone would have been like, Kyle knows exactly what he's doing. But in this case, it didn't work out. So now it looks like Kyle didn't know what he was doing. And that's a tough position to be in. But, yeah, I saw it. As soon as I saw the play happen on film, I was like, oh, my gosh, they almost had a big one.
And I think it's much better. I mean, perfect scenario. You're in the goal line. Maybe there's 20 to 25 seconds left. You got a timeout left. That's probably your perfect scenario. But in order to get to that, you do have to kind of be much faster, much quicker in your decision-making, getting to the line of scrimmage, calling your play, executing it. I would rather have a minute left and you're almost going to score compared to there's 15 seconds left and you're at the 50-yard line. Like, I would much rather have that option. You can't do it perfect every time, but obviously I would want to see a touchdown right before half, or at least the bare minimum, a closer field goal for Moody.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, it was interesting. It didn't work out. I wish they would have got at least a field goal. You know, and those are, that's the catch 22. Do I use as much time as I can to not give them a chance, right, or do I make sure, you know, that they don't get another chance? I'm going to walk with points and that's it. Or I just think you get put in a tough situation that last, you know, few minutes. I think primarily Kyle did it really good this year. Besides a couple of occasions, I thought he handled it pretty well. They doubled up people. But this wasn't one of those situations where you felt really great about it. But I still feel better about him as far as clock management than some of the other coaches in the league. So at least we got that going. Kyle is definitely a lot more experienced. I think he's gotten better and better at it as he's been a head coach.
And I would add that even if you do score a touchdown in the opponent, let's say they still have two timeouts left with 45 seconds left, well, how about we trust our defense? I mean, we've got one of the highest paced defensive lines in the NFL. Trust that they'll get pressure. Trust your all-pro cornerback in Mooney Ward. You know, trust Demo Lenore, who's having a hell of a year. Ambry, hey, he's able to stick with his offensive player usually, but he just gets a little handsy, and you can't allow that long defensive pass interference. That's something that's worrisome, but trust your players. Trust your defense. One of the best defenses in the NFL, that they won't allow a Hail Mary or a long touchdown right before halftime.
I think that's a very good point, and I'm not going to argue with that at all. David Villa says, do you guys think Chris Conley will have a catch in the Super Bowl? What do you think?
I would say no.
I think Chris Conley is going to block really well in the Super Bowl. but, I mean, I think Juwan Jennings is going to have a big impact in this game. But I don't know how much Chris Conley we're going to see besides blocking opportunities. Right. Maybe they'll rip one to him later. But I think the honest truth is you want to get the ball to Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Juwan Jennings, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Juszczyk before you ever even get to Ray-Ray McCloud and then to Chris Conley. So probably not that many opportunities for Conley in this game. But he will run some through routes, get some people, you know, covering him deep so Deebo and Ayuk can run deep crossers.
Yeah. If Conley plays, you know, a lot of snaps on offense, I think that might mean that there's something wrong or a player got hurt, and we definitely don't want to see that. But, hey, if Conley goes deep and he's open, you know, BP, I think he can get it to him.
Oh, for sure. Brock will rip it to whoever. If somebody gets open, Brock's going to find him. That's just he don't care. He's an equal opportunity quarterback. He's like, oh, yeah, you're open. Boom. I don't care who it was supposed to go to. And I love that. That's the kind of quarterback play I think we've always wanted in San Francisco.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit of defense again. Ambry Thomas, Logan Ryan, because Ambry has been dealing with the hand, and you could see it. There's not a lot of physicality in his game right now, and he's had a couple of rough outings since the surgery. I thought he was playing pretty good before that. Now it hasn't been the case. Do you think the 49ers are going to go with Ambry Thomas in this game, or will they kind of fool around with this thing? They got Logan Ryan, who played some really good nickel in that second half. How do you think they go about playing the secondary? Will it be Ambry when nickel happens, or will it be Logan Ryan taking the nickel and Demo staying outside?
Ooh, great question. Refresh my memory. Ambry, he got the surgery after the Lions game, right?
Or was after it the Commanders.
After the Commanders. Oh, okay. 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 I would say that Ambry continues to play. I think he'll continue to start outside, I believe. And the reason I say that, I mean, he's played in every game this year. I think he has been solid. There have been plays made by him by other wide receivers. Every corner gets beat. But I think with Ambry, it's just, I guess in the run game, that could be a concern. As you said earlier, he hasn't been as physical. So can he, you know, be competent in the run game? I think that could be an issue for him. But as far as him covering, I think if you put him on MVS, I think he can run with MVS. It's just at the catch point, don't freak out, Ambry. Just, you know, watch the receiver's hands, put your hand through the receiver's hands, and make a PBU. But I think we stick with Ambry.
I think you're right. I think they're going to stick with Ambry Thomas because I think they want Demo to play inside. Demo's effectiveness as basically a third linebacker in the run game has been pivotal. Plus, they just don't throw too much on him. He's very good in there. So he's going to go against the guys that they're trying to create space for, whether that's Travis Kelce or that's Rashee Rice. He's just going to have that type of battle. With Ambry Thomas, I want him on the outside against MVS. Because one thing that he loves to do is play with cushion and give a lot of depth and keep a lot of cushion out there. He can stay on top of a really fast receiver. And his problem with the penalty that he got in the Packers game was he wasn't on top. He was underneath the route. And when that happened, then he freaked out and grabbed because he didn't know where the ball was. So I think if he trusts his technique that Steve Wilks has been working on and he stays on top of those routes, that's okay. Because I just don't think MVS is a consistent enough route runner to break off a bunch of stuff underneath from Ambry's cushion and run all these comebacks and stop routes and make plays underneath. I just don't think that's the kind of receiver he is. If it was Tyreek Hill, I'd be completely worried about it, but it's not. It's a different type of player at MVS. He likes to stretch it deep, not so much underneath. So I think Ambry Thomas will be okay there. But I think the 49ers will have Logan Ryan ready. I think there'll probably be some situations we see three safeties on the field. And they'll probably go big sometimes because one of the big players is a tight end. So you need to have bigger bodies, guys that are able to get physical. And so at those cases, you might see more than one safety on the field. Bring Jair up, Gibson up, put him right on Kelce, and allow the other guy to play the deep third or the deep half.
No, I agree. Well said.
And then let's talk the biggest matchup on offense versus the Chiefs. The 49ers. You know, it's going to be tough. Their offense has all these weapons. What are they going to do against this Chiefs defense who has so much talent? You have Chris Jones. And, I mean, I think you agree with this. Maybe one of the best secondaries the 49ers have won against the entire season.
Yeah.
What is the biggest matchup the 49ers need to win on offense versus the Chiefs?
Man, great point or great question, I would say. I would say it starts off in the trenches, and it starts off with BBF. And that stands for Banks, Brindle, and Feliciano. I think they're going to be tasked, obviously, with handling Chris Jones. I mean, if you've been watching NFL, you know Chris Jones has been one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL the last decade. He was wrecking havoc against the 49ers in the last Super Bowl. So it's going to be key for those three guys to be able to handle Chris Jones. I would expect Chris Jones to win some matchups against Brendel. I could see Chris Jones pushing Brendel into Brock Purdy, and that's why I think it's very important for Brock Purdy to, hey, get some rollout, get him out of the pocket, make that Chiefs defensive line run after him, get tired. Also, Brock can see the field better when he's out of the pocket. He doesn't necessarily have to be on his tippy toes and trying to look above the defensive lineman. Also, you don't really have to worry about balls getting batted at the line of scrimmage if he's out of the pocket. So I think that's going to be key. I know Chris Jones, sometimes he lines up on the center. Sometimes he lines up on either guard. So I think that's going to be a key matchup in blocking him and our.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Offensive linemen, they need to get to the second level. They have to get their hands on the Chiefs linebackers, which not necessarily household names, but they're definitely talented. I think what Bolton, I think they have Tranquil, and I think Willie Gay. So they're all guys that can run, and definitely got to get your hands on them to be able to have those holes open in the run game. So that's going to be, I think, my biggest matchup, the 49ers interior offensive line against that Chiefs defensive front.
I think that's a good one, because if there's one weakness along the offensive line, it's probably that interior group. Even though they've played well, Aaron Banks hasn't been the same since he had the injury, especially the toe injury. He's looked a little bit slower, but still, you know, doing pretty good. Feliciano's been a big upgrade for the 49ers at right guard. He's been stout, and now he might have his biggest test of the season. Now, these guys are used to going against Aaron Donald, so it's a similar type of beast. So the 49ers are aware of what happens with a dynamic defensive tackle. But the Kansas City Chiefs are dealing with some injuries on the defensive line. Charles Omenihu was a big loss for them. Yeah. He was the number one pass rusher as far as rate to get to the quarterback. Even better than Chris Jones, and they have lost a lot of depth. They lost Ndamie as well. They have very little depth on the interior defensive line, which they like to take Chris Jones and move him outside on obvious pass downs against guys like Colt McKivitz. Is that still going to be the case? Because now you don't have interior defensive line. You're going 3-4 deep in your depth. You thought the 49ers depth struggled at times. This is really, really bad. So I don't know how much they can move him or where they can move him. But the 49ers are going to have a real plan to stop Chris Jones. And I implore Kyle Shanahan, from all the film that I've watched this week, when Chris Jones lines up on Colt McKivitz, as long as it's not third and long, run the football. With no one in there in the interior, that's when that interior battery should be able to block well, create holes. Third and three could be easy conversions for the 49ers in the run game. Raiders did that a lot. Other teams were successful in that category as well, and I think the 49ers could follow suit and do that as well.
No, absolutely. And I believe Feliciano, he was interviewed during Super Bowl week, and he said that he's gone up against Chris Jones like 10 to 12 times in his career. So that's a guy that he's seen, obviously, a lot of times, and he knows how to corral him and how to make his impact the least as possible. But on short, on third and short, I would imagine Chris Jones probably stays inside, right? Because you mentioned the lack of depth. Most likely we're probably going to run the ball, so it'd probably be better to have him inside. But if it's third and eight, third and nine, yeah, that would be an interesting matchup. Chris Jones against I almost said McClinchy against Colton McKivitz.
They finished the exact same as far as pass blocking this year. Same grade. So
Wow. And I thought McKivitz wasn't bad. I thought the offensive line pass blocking in these playoffs, it seems like it's been shoddy. It hasn't been great. I feel like Purdy hasn't been able to get a lot into his throws. You see him, the rush is literally in his face, and he's just trying to get the ball off. I know, at least for me, when I talk about offensive linemen, it's usually if they did something wrong. Like, they could have 40 plays and 36 of them could be good, right? And then, but the four that they messed up on or someone won a matchup, those are the four that kind of stick out. But hopefully, you know, we have a better not just the game plan, but hopefully we just do a better job at executing and creating a clean pocket for Purdy, because I think that's going to be a key for him to have success in this game.
Yeah, and Colton McKivitz has zero sacks allowed right now in the playoffs. A nice. Lot of that because Kyle Shanahan, Brock Purdy getting rid of the football, Brock Purdy escaping the pocket.
Scrambling, yeah.
Hey, you know, he's doing a good job. And Lou says definitely need to move the pocket to protect BP. It, just going over what you said, you're right. And that's one of the things that we know is huge in this game is if you just watch the things that the Kansas City Chiefs struggle against, they struggle against the outside zone from a quarterback under center. They're 25th best defense in the league, so lower third. So if you're under center and you can run outside zone, that creates the avenue to run the boot passes, get Brock Purdy out where he has the vision. You run the flood patterns on the backside, get those guys open, create some opportunities for Brock Purdy to get some layered throws. To me, it makes a lot of sense. Keep him safe, keep him upright, get him outside the pocket and away from Jones. And also with Kansas City having to commit so much to the stopping the run game of the 49ers, you're going to open up some horizontal windows for Brock Purdy to throw. And whenever you get that, that's when Deebo and Brandon Ayuk make plays, especially Kittle as well. So I think that's going to be a firm part of the game plan. I think you've hit the nail on the head with that. And I think that's exactly what they're going to do in this game.
No, absolutely.
And then we got this right here from David Villa. Who do you think will score the Niners' first touchdown?
I think it's got to be – I think if it's a long touchdown, like a run, I'm saying CMC. But if it's around the goal line, I'm thinking Deebo.
I like that. I think they're going to get Deebo involved as well. I think Christian McCaffrey's going to have a big game. I'm going to go with McCaffrey in this. I just think they're going to get down there. That one play that they've been running has not been stopped yet. Green Bay can't stop it. Detroit can't stop it. It's basically a power O right there at the, you know, right when they get to the goal line area. 49ers are four or five against Detroit, one of the best run defenses in the red zone. To me, I think the 49ers are going to run it over them with Christian McCaffrey when they get to that part. But yeah, I'd love to see McCaffrey get a big touchdown. I want Brock Purdy to get like the MVP, but if Christian McCaffrey came away with it as a running back, no complaints because he has been fantastic this season.
No, absolutely. I love to say that CMC, that's the greatest trade in 49ers history, or at least since I've been a fan. Obviously, we got Trent Williams as well, but CMC, that cash is different.
I think you're right. It came just at the right time last year,
yeah.
And now this year you're seeing all the benefits in the world. It catapulted the 49ers to where they are. The 49ers aren't here without McCaffrey.
Right.
He unlocked Kyle Shanahan's offense, so I completely agree. Let's flip it to the other side of the ball. Biggest matchup for the 49ers defense versus the Chiefs. Chiefs offense, we talked about it, probably a four-headed monster, really. Kelce, Rashee Rice, Isaiah Pacheco, Patrick Mahomes. What's the biggest matchup for the 49ers defense? The defense has been leaking oil a little bit against the run. Yeah. Still playing competitive against the pass, but the run has had some, you know, little holes here and there.
Yeah, when you look at this Chiefs offense throughout the regular season, I think Pat Mahomes only threw for over 300 yards. You could probably count on one hand. I just think that the passing game has been really limited without Tyreek Hill. You know, obviously they had a solid season. They're 11-6, but in all their losses, they never scored more than 20 points. So this isn't a high powered Chiefs offense. But they do have, as you said, they have talented players, and I think it's going to be key. You got to shut down Pacheco. You have to. You don't want to put the ball in the Mahomes' hands, but you got to have to. You have to make their offense one dimensional. And the only way you do that, you got to shut down the run. Pacheco is a hell of a back. You know, a hell of a talent. I think he wasn't he a seventh round pick? I believe
he was.
So yeah.
Rutgers.
Yeah, crazy that the Chiefs found him there. Obviously, he's got first-round talent. But, yeah, you got to stop Pacheco. That's got to be, you know, the first key. And I think you kind of have to overcommit to stop the run because we've struggled, as we've talked about earlier on in the show. But then you can't forget about Pat Mahomes. I mean, best quarterback of the last decade. It's not even a discussion. The things he can do, where he just draws up plays on his hand. Hey, you go to the left, you go to the right. I'll find you open. One of the biggest things that's scary is his off-the-script plays. And I think it's going to be paramount. I'm not sure, Ant, correct me if I'm wrong, but do the 49ers employ a spy? Like, especially if it's on a third and long, that's something that Mahomes excels at. I don't care who it is. If you bring up Jair Brown in the box, you have Logan Ryan spy Mahomes, either Greenlaw or Fred, but there has to be a spy on third down because that's where Mahomes really hurts you when he's able to escape the pocket. Then that allows Kelce more time to get open. That allows Rice more time to get open. And then if they're not open, he'll just run for it. And he's going to – Mahomes will run until he thinks he's going to get hit just to try to get a flag called. So that's something else you got to watch out for. But for me, the two biggest matchups, it's Mahomes, it's Pacheco. I think Kelce can get his. I think as long as we don't allow him in the end zone, I think we'll be fine. Because there's a lot of ways you can get Kelce the ball. He knows if you're running zone, he can run the screen game. He doesn't have that blazing speed, but, you know, he can scamper for about a half dozen yards, maybe 10 yards. But the biggest key is definitely got to not allow Pat Mahomes to scamper for first downs, and you got to contain Pacheco.
Yeah, I think early down success is huge. If you can't stop the run game at Kansas City, you're not going to stop their offense because – just getting it going. Now, they're not one of those teams, and this is exactly what Hugh says here, so I'll give Hugh a little credit and put his comment up there. The Chiefs will abandon the run early if it's not working. That's why you have to have a commitment to stop it early. If you slow it down, it makes it more difficult. It turns Patrick Mahomes and this offense into a drop back, throw the football, scramble around, make plays. Steve Wilks talked about it this week. There's two plays that you have to be prepared for, the normal play and then the extended play. And that's exactly what you have to worry about. So early down success against the Kansas City Chiefs is pivotal. Stopping the run on first and second down, forcing third and long. And then when you get to those third and longs, like you brought up about the spy, that's not something the 49ers normally employ. But I have seen teams that have been willing to show someone in the blitz, Greenlaw, Fred, and they come up and they show in the blitz, and then they don't bail all the way. They kind of hang out, and they wait for an opportunity to come at the quarterback. You might see some of that this week, some opportunities where you have them hovering around just in case. But also, it's so important for the defensive ends, Bosa and Chase Young and Randy Gregory and whoever else is in, to keep their outside arm free when they're rushing. They have to make sure he can't escape the pocket going around. Don't go too far upfield. Make just enough around to bend the corner, keep that outside arm free. So that way he has to step up in the pocket. And then those interior defensive linemen that you're paying all that money to, Hargrave and Armstead, got to earn it in this game. They're going to. I have a lot of faith in them. They're good players. But then collapse that pocket on top of them. So I think it could be a combination of both. You're going to have real rush lane integrity, but you're also going to have to keep a guy around every once in a while, whether it's in a blitz or showing in a blitz and then him having the opportunity to get Patrick if he tries to escape early. But it's a complicated scheme that you're going to go against, and it's a complicated set of rules that you're going to have to embrace to make sure you keep him in the pocket. Because you're right, he gets outside the pocket, not only can he kill you with his legs, but then all of a sudden he whips one down the field for 40 yards, and it's a big-time play. Those types of things are just scary, and that's what the 49ers have to deal with in this matchup.
And you mentioned third down. I mean, third down is going to be very pivotal in this game. Niners defense has to get off the field on third down. The last two games, they've allowed 13 out of 25 conversions on third down. So, to me, that's not really good for this caliber of defense. I mean, that percentage needs to be around 30%. Like, if you told me, if you told me that the Chiefs would only convert 3 out of 10 on third down, I would take that.
Oh, if they only go 30% on third down, 49ers have a good shot at winning the game. Now, the Chiefs' overall offense hasn't been fantastic on third down. They're 43% on the season, but still they're pretty good. So you're right. Third down is going to be huge in this football game. 49ers are really good on third down as far as offensively, but defensively, their numbers slowly been trending the wrong direction. 42%, they give up third down if you include the playoffs. Not exactly where you want to be as far as third down. And Hugh asked this, will the 49ers stay in a zone? Kelce beats zone well. Who covers Kelce?
Yeah, I think what they could do is maybe they could have zone on one side, maybe the opposite side of Kelce, and maybe have someone man up Kelce. Maybe you could bracket the coverage, put someone on top. I don't think you're necessarily worried about Kelce beating anyone down the field. Like, I don't think he's he's that guy anymore, but maybe double him. I mean, the Chiefs, I just don't think they have that many weapons unless MVS has a career game. I don't even know if there's another player, the Chiefs wide receiver. He's kind of been inactive a lot of the year.
Kadarius Toney.
Exactly. Is he even playing?
No idea. Who knows?
So I think, hey, man, man up Kelsey. Kelsey's great at finding those zones. He'll just sit in between two defenders. Mahomes knows where he's going. But, you know, can you completely shut that down? No. I think Kelsey's going to get his. He'll probably get – I think there was a prop bet for Kelsey. I think it was over under six catches. I can see Kelsey getting over six catches. But keep him out of the end zone. Don't allow those catches to be first down, and I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, it's about changing up what they see. Never let them get comfortable with what Travis Kelsey's going against. Is it sometimes Trey Greenlaw? Is it sometimes Fred Warner? Is it sometimes they're dropping someone underneath? Are they bracketing like you said? Is it Deshaun Gibson coming up and lining up on top of him? Just continue to make it difficult for him to understand what he's looking at. Now, I know he's a veteran. He's going to figure it out, but maybe you can make him wait half a second to get open. That extra half a second maybe gets Bosa home. And we have a little bit of a difference in opinion. Lou says, I think Wilkes needs to bring the heat and put pressure on Patrick Mahomes. And Integrity says, you do not blitz Patrick Mahomes. What do you think about that? Do you not blitz Patrick Mahomes, or do you do like Lou said, and you bring heat and put the pressure on Patrick?
Man, well, Sideline Steve hasn't really blitzed a whole lot. But if we can get pressure with our front four, then it doesn't make sense to blitz. But I think sometimes you do have to surprise Mahomes, whether you blitz through the A-gap. Maybe we could see Bosa and Chase Young line up right above the center. Maybe they could blitz them through the middle. I think you just have to keep them guessing. But I think you do blitz. It could be a zone blitz. It could be a man blitz. But just disguise it. You have to keep Pat Mahomes on his toes. I know he's seen it all, but I think you mix it up. I think you do a little bit of both. And just in regards to Kelsey, you mentioned, you know, maybe make Kelsey a beat slower. Well, the way you do that, you got to get your hands on him at the line of scrimmage, especially if he's in a 3-point stance. You know, get your hands on him. Don't allow a free release, whether he's in his 3-point stance or lining up as a receiver. That'll make it even longer that, as you mentioned before, Pat Mahomes, he has to hold that ball. And that could be a second that Chase Young or Bosa or Armstead or Hargrave need to get some pressure on Mahomes.
Yeah, and Integrity says, looked like they were fooling Mahomes with delayed blitzes. He said the Ravens were doing that. And then Hugh said, hey, since he had some success rushing three at times and dropping eight into coverage, I think that's the key. Right, we seen Steve Wilkes dropping Chase Young into coverage the other day. I mean, they are doing a bunch of different things, bringing a linebacker, dropping Chase, confusing what is normally seen. It doesn't mean it's going to confuse them enough that they're not going to figure it out. But what it means is it might make them maybe a second behind where their normal progression is, make them think that they're seeing something they don't. That's the key. Kelsey's going to get catches in this game. There's just no way around it. The good news is the 49ers are the fourth best defense in the league against tight ends. And they're going to have a tough task. But when you go against George Kittle every single day at practice, you're going to be pretty good against tight ends during the season. So I think they'll be okay. And Jay, I got a question for you about an under-the-radar player to make an impact. Because every single year, it seems like somebody comes out of nowhere in the Super Bowl for one of these teams and makes a play that just you're like, wow, that was so huge. And the 49ers have some guys that have been unassuming all year. Guys who maybe haven't had big-time plays. I'm wondering if you have a guy that's flying under the radar you expect to have a big game or a couple big plays in this game that tip it one way or the other.
Hey, I give you three.
Okay, so, I like that.
So I got to start off, of course, with Juwan Jennings. I mean, with Juwan, it's quality.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
quality over quantity. We know he's not going to get a ton of targets in the game. Hell, I think he only has like 20 catches in the regular season, but we know he can make some big plays on third down. What's most important is Brock Purdy trusts Juwan to make plays. He's got great hands, reliable hands. We all saw the catch against Detroit where he just jumped up in the sky and grabbed the ball. So Juwan, and not only will he make big catches, he's also great in the run game. He'll frustrate the defenders. That's one thing that you got to love about Juwan is that he's not afraid to block, and he's not afraid to push your best corner into the Gatorade jug on the sideline. So I would say first is definitely Juwan Jennings. Next, I would say it's Kyle Juszczyk. We've got all these other skill guys, Ayuk, Kittle, Debo, CMC. You forget about number 44. Not only can he block, but he also can catch, and he can make those great sideline catches that we've seen in the past. And let's be real, the defense isn't really going to key on Juice. So I think, you know, Purdy should look for him. He can make he won't make a lot of guys miss, but he'll make a good catch. He's got reliable hands, and he can definitely get a first down for you. And I have one more guy. Special teams doesn't really get talked about enough, but I would say it's Mitch Wisnowski. Field position is key in this game. Well, you could say in every game, but you know, Mitch, since December, he's had 21 punts. And 9 of those punts have been inside the 20. So I think if we can get if we have to punt, we get 3 or 4 punts that are in the 20, that would force the Chiefs to have to go 85, 90 yards just to get to their end zone and get a touchdown. I think it's something that's not talked about, but I think it's very important. Mitch has had a hell of a year. And not only will can Mitch punt the ball and do that coffin punt, but our gunners have to get down and actually grab the ball before it gets to the end zone. So those are my three guys that are underrated, but they could have a huge impact in the game.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, Juwan has been one of those guys that when the biggest moments come, he usually makes something happen. And he's not just relegated to making catches, right? A third in Juwan's a thing, but third in blocking is a real thing for Juwan. I mean, the dude is a beast when it comes to blocking. He always makes plays. He's always getting guys extra yardage. Juwan Jennings also sets a attitude that this offense plays with. So he for sure can make some plays in this game. I wouldn't be surprised to see him make some big time plays. And Kyle Juszczyk, it's funny because Juszczyk was huge in that 2019 game. He had the touchdown. He had a couple other big catches. That one makes a lot of sense to me for Kyle Juszczyk to have a big game. Mitch Wisnowski punted one time last week for 56 yards. So I would actually love to see Wisnowski not a part of this game with no punts. But I like what you're saying because you're right. He can flip the field. And against Patrick Mahomes, if you can make him have to go 85 yards or 90 yards instead of 75, that could be the difference between a touchdown and a field goal. 4-point difference is huge. So you're right. Those are big-time picks. I like those picks. So yeah, well thought out. Good job on that question. It was pretty solid.
Absolutely. And one last thing about Juwan, I think he is a unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. Correct me if I'm wrong, but
free agent.
He's restricted.
Yeah. Because his rookie year, they waived him. He was on the practice squad. Right. And then they put him on IR. He was never on the 53. So because of that, he did not get that season. It wasn't accrued. Mm. So, he's only actually going into his fourth year coming up, so he'll be a restricted free agent. So offer sheet will definitely be coming his way.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say he may have priced himself out, kind of like how Kendrick Bourne did a few years ago when Patriots gave him, he goes like a 3-year deal, $21 million. I don't envision the Niners giving that to Juwan, but he's earned every penny he gets. And since you say he's restricted, I could see him back with the Niners next season. Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you so much for Integrity Automotive for subscribing. I appreciate the subscription. And he had a question here. How big of a factor is Jerick McKinnon? It looks like the Chiefs are about to activate him. Wow. Research shows he had the same amount of TDs as all the Chiefs wide receivers last year.
Wow. I almost forgot about paper plane McKinnon, man. I almost forgot about him. but he's good. Like it didn't work out with the Niners. But he was pretty good with the Chiefs. And I honestly forgot about him because he got hurt. Do you recall when did he get hurt in a regular season?
I don't remember, actually, until this week. I did not realize he was on IR. I saw it, and I was like, oh, wow, Jerick McKinnon's not going to play. That's going to hurt them as far as the passing game with him in the out of the backfield. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, wait, no, he might be activated. So looks like he's going to play.
That's huge if he's going to play. I mean, he's probably going to be obviously rusty. I'm just going to look real quick. When was the last time he played? But obviously he's going to be rusty, but he would love to stick it to his former team in the 49ers. That's for sure. But yeah, Jet, he can run the ball. He can catch. I think he's a pretty good back. What to expect from him? I don't know because he hasn't played. Let's see. The last time he played, he played December 17th against New England. So I'm assuming he must have gotten hurt right after that game. Didn't do much in the game. He did have one touchdown receiving, but how many plays will they actually give McKinnon when you got Pacheco, you've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire? They'll probably use McKinnon maybe on third down. I know they like to use him on third down when he was healthy, but he may be able to make an impact. He'll be fresh, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the 49ers will be ready for Jerick McKinnon. They just went against Jahmyr Gibbs. If you're prepared for Jahmyr Gibbs, you're prepared for Jerick McKinnon. But he can catch screen passes, right? He can catch bubble screens outside. He can still run the ball a little bit. So it is an added aspect to their offense they're definitely going to have to prepare for. And Daryl says Mitch is repeating the run they called back in Seattle game, I think. So he's calling for Mitch Wisnowski to run the fake punt. That would be interesting.
That would be great. But you know, Ronnie Brown, hey, just get in front. You don't have to even block. You know, on that play, Mitch had already got the first down. Ronnie Brown, he was doing too much. Just get in front of him. You don't even have to block.
Oh, you ain't got to worry about that. Ronnie Bell is not going to be active for this game. Don't worry about it. He's going to be chilling on the sidelines. Chris Conley took that spot because he effectively knows where to line up and who to block. And that's what Kyle wants from that, sixth wide receiver spot. They're crazy. The 49ers are running with six wide receivers this year. I think five are what's playing in the games. But what about a bold prediction? Give me a bold prediction for this matchup.
Wow, bold prediction. I would go with, number 97, the highest paid defensive player in the NFL right now. It's got to be Bosa. I'm expecting him to have a huge game. He is going up against this Chiefs offensive line. And they have a right tackle in, I believe his name is Jawan
Taylor.
So I believe he's the most penalized offensive lineman in the NFL. I think he's had like 9 holding penalties, and he's had a total of like 23 penalties. Now, he lines up on, obviously, the offensive right side. Bosa usually lines up on the offense's left side. So Bosa, maybe sideline Steve will put him on the right to match him up there. But I think Bosa or even Chase Young should be able to eat in this game. I think you just have to expose Taylor for the guy he is. He's grabby. Hopefully the refs see it. But I can see Bosa having, a 2-sack game, a few TFLs, and I'm even predicting a defensive touchdown by Nick Bosa. I think he jumps up. He pats down one of Pat Mahomes' passes, catches it, and he takes it to the house. That's my bold prediction.
I love that. If you're going to go bold, you go real bold and you call for a defensive touchdown by Nick Bosa. But, yeah, I'm here for it. And you're right. Bosa's going to line up in front of Jawan Taylor all game. I can tell you that right now. Okay. They might flip him to the other side occasionally. But, I mean, Bosa's been calling for holding penalties this week. Yeah. It's particularly because of Jawan Taylor. And I guarantee you there's going to be plays in this game where it looks like Jawan Taylor is trying to grab him from behind by the waist as Bosa's trying to get to Patrick Mahomes. He's going to smoke Taylor a couple of times with his speed upfield. So I think that this is a game Bosa will really win at. Taylor struggles. The speed is not there. He's very grabby. He gets top heavy. Doesn't have flexibility in his hips. When I break down offensive linemen, Jawan Taylor's not the guy you want to go against an explosive player like Bosa who has the leverage to play against a taller guy. So I think Bosa could have a big game. I think your bold prediction could come correct. The touchdown, if that happens, wow. I'm giving you major props. I'm saying going right to Twitter, telling everybody, guess what Jay did, because that would be absolutely fantastic.
That would be like MVP, like Super Bowl MVP worthy right there if you were able to do
it
that.
It would. It would. The closest I've come to anything like that was the divisional round, 49ers versus Packers. I called for a special teams touchdown that was going to change the game, and then we got the punt block. So that's as close as I got, but not the particular guy, just the situation. You're, that you'd be hitting a new level of excellence there. And then I got this one. We got this one from Integrity. Do you think Charvarius is ready for Rashee Rice?
Yeah, I think Mooney has been playing really well this postseason. I think he struggled a little bit earlier on in the regular season, you know, with penalties, holding penalties, pass interference. But it seems like he's turned over a new leaf the second half of the season, and he's been one of the best corners in the NFL. And yeah, I think he'll do just fine with going up against Rice.
Yeah, I'm actually okay with D'Albert Lenore going against Rashee Rice. I think those are both situations that could be advantages for the 49ers. We have a super chat from Tommy. The two tackles are, everyone can read that, are McKibbitz 2.0. So Tommy coming with the jokes. Thanks so much, Tommy.
That's good, Tommy.
Really appreciate it. Yeah, Tommy's one of the best. always got something interesting to say. So love when Tommy comes into chat. And I think the only thing left to do now, Jay, is to pick the winner. I'm going to let you pick it. I'm not going to give my prediction in this game. I wait for my game preview show every week. But I start listening to what everyone has to say. And I got to be honest, depending on who I'm talking to, there are actually 49er people picking against the 49ers. I don't know where you sit on this, but some people are getting bold. I don't know. I haven't trended that way. All the film I've watched and everything, I haven't went there. But I'm curious where you're going to go with this score.
So I think it's going to be do you know the over-under for this game?
I don't know the over-under for this game, yeah.
I think it's going to be a close game. I don't think it's going to be high scoring. I'd be surprised if one of the teams – now, if we get a defensive touchdown, I could see us getting over 30, but I think both teams will be under that. I just think this Chiefs offense hasn't really been explosive. You look at their points scored, and I think the key number for the Niners defense is to keep them under 20. Their six losses all regular season, they only scored 20 points once, and that was in the game opener versus the Lions to kick off the regular season. So I think the Chiefs will be able to run the ball. I just hope that they don't gash us like for 15, 20, 25 yards, but I think they will be able to run the ball. I think it will be back and forth. But I think if Shanahan, hey, run the ball, CMC, get Debo involved early. I would love to see Kittle get, you know, half a dozen targets. We didn't really talk about Ayuk, but he's had a fantastic season. I believe this was his second 1,000-yard season in a row, I believe, or was it third? Yeah.
Second.
So Ayuk is having a hell of a year. Get him involved as well. Move Purdy around. But I think the key is the defense has to get off the field on third down. Purdy has to protect the football, and Shanahan has to protect Purdy by getting him on some bootlegs, some rollouts, working off play action. And I think the Niners can get number six. And would you like my score, right? Like my score prediction?
Oh, yeah.
So, I got the Niners winning 24-19.
I like that. That's a solid victory. You know, I mean, it's going to be tough sledding against this Chiefs defense. They're just really good. They haven't given up a single team, scoring 30 points this entire game or entire season. So, 30 points is going to be hard to come by. But if you can play solid defense and keep Patrick Mahomes and that offense into kicking field goals instead of touchdowns, I think you're right. I think there's an opportunity for the 49ers to win this game. 24-19 sounds like a very sweet spot, a tough fought battle, but ultimately earned a big victory for the 49ers. And boy, would that change the narrative around Brock Purdy, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And also the 49ers, I mentioned the 13 of 25 defensively on giving up third down conversions, which isn't good. But one thing we do well is the red zone defense. We've forced a lot of field goals in the playoff games and in the regular season. So sometimes we'll allow those big plays, those chunk plays where the offense moves down the field, But once they get in the red zone, we really clamp down, and we force teams to kick field goals. And that'll be key versus the, you know, the Chiefs offense and Pat Mahomes.
Yep, you got to play touchdowns for field goals. 49ers get touchdowns, Chiefs get field goals, you win the game. We've seen that be a negative for the 49ers in years past. Now they score a lot of touchdowns. Ask Jake Moody. There was a stretch there where I don't think he kicked a field goal for a long time. It was just extra point after extra point. I think that's what the 49ers need to do in this matchup, and you're right. I think they could win it. I like your score prediction. Who knows? I might steal it for later in the week.
Hey, what's the deal, do you think, with Moody? Is it all between the ears? Me and the Dream was saying on our show Straight Out of the Bay that, hey, Moody kicks better on the left hash on the field compared to the right hash. You know, what do you think? What do you think the deal is with Moody? Just the nerves get to him?
I think it's interesting because I was at the Rams game at the end of the year, and he missed it right, and it was on the right hash. I think Amin and the Dream might be, you know, something there. He lets it tail a little bit. I mean, that's just kind of what's going on. Maybe there's a little technique flaw. I don't know enough about kickers to know exactly what the technique is, but you don't want to switch it during the season. So my guess is they'll work on it in the offseason. But yeah, they've probably felt.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A lot more comfortable with him on the left hash than the right, the way that the ball moves. But also, wind in Levi Stadium isn't normally significant, but I think it is moving the ball a little bit, because we've seen other players on other teams having a little bit of problem with the ball movement as well. Carlson was having, you know, problems where the ball was drifting to the left, but he was going the opposite way. So right for Moody, left for Carlson. Maybe there's a little bit of a breeze that's coming through and kind of pushing that ball more than they normally think. But if I was the 49ers and I had a clutch field goal that needed to be made, I want to be on the left hash mark. I think it means the Dream's onto something.
No, absolutely. And when you look at Jake Moody's stats in the regular season, I mean, he was, 21 of 25 on his field goal attempts, and he only missed one extra point. So, I mean, he's been pretty good. But, you know, will Shanahan trust him, you know, in those pressurized moments? I think in the playoffs, I believe Moody is I think he's 1 of 4 on field goals in the playoffs. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't know for sure, but I thought he was better than that. I know he hit a 52-yarder last week, but he did have a couple of misses. So, I mean, he hasn't been lights out. He's not Robbie Gold.
Right.
But, I mean, the fact that you have a situation in the second half where if you don't get any points, you're in trouble, and Kyle says, you know what, Jake Moody, go kick a 52-yard field goal, and he smashes it through. Well, I mean, I think Kyle does have some confidence in him.
Yeah. Yeah. In the playoffs, Moody's 3 of 5. So he's 3 of 5 kicking in the playoffs. So,
and then one of those was blocked.
Right. And so, one of those was blocked. So, and I don't know, like you said, I don't know. I'm not an expert on kicking as well. I don't know if he kicked that too low or the defender just made a hell of a play on the ball. Cause some, you know, we see block kicks from time to time. It's not like you never see it. So,
yeah, he definitely kicked that one lower for sure.
Yeah. Well, quick question. What are your thoughts about the turf? Lou had a comment here, people complaining about the turf on the field. I don't understand it. If you're the NFL, either you allow the Niners and Chiefs to both use the Raiders facility, they got like 4 fields, or you make them both use the college facility. Why can't one team come in the morning, another team come in the afternoon? Like, I don't understand. Why are you giving an advantage to the Chiefs? Why aren't you making a level playing field? I don't understand that.
It's interesting. I don't know what this field, you know, look like per se, but it sounds like the grounds crew, as far as 49ers training staff and such, weren't very excited about this field and what its grades were. Yeah, I mean, in a perfect situation, right, you could just work it out where Chiefs are there at one time, 49ers are there at the other. They probably could have staggered it to where Chiefs practice in the afternoon one day, 49ers in the morning, so on. So, but these teams and their players are creatures of habit. And Kyle Shanahan likes to kind of mimic what time they're going to play with what time they practice. So that probably was something Andy Reid wanted to do too. I think this is a situation where the NFL messed up. Since December, they knew what they were going to need, and they should have made sure they had two adequate fields. Putting in sod last week is not the way to go about it. Maybe they thought it was going to work. It didn't. They should have contingency plans. I think Kyle and the 49ers are going to overlook this. They're not planning on going real hard at practice anyways. But I definitely think this is one of those things the NFL has struggled with the last couple of years. Last year, it was the actual field the team was playing on, and now it's the 49ers practice field. They've got to get it together because the Super Bowl is not the time where you have these types of things happen.
No, I completely agree. The NFL definitely messed up. It's just not fair. You know, is it a significant advantage? Probably not, but it's just not fair.
Yeah, it's not. It's frustrating. You know, you come into the situation, you're expecting everything to be top level. Right. And when you don't get top level, yeah, you're frustrated. It's like, why am I here? I could have been back at my site, you know, practicing on a good field, and now I'm out here and I can't do the things I want. And heaven forbid, and you know, people are saying, oh, it's just soft, you're gonna fall in, it's no problem, but your feet are gonna give, your ankle could twist, you could have a knee problem. Heaven forbid one of those players got hurt. That would be terrible. That would
be catastrophic, man. Terrible.
It would be terrible to lose a player at this point and completely flip the game, you know, one way or the other. Frustrating, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you have anything left to say before we get out of here?
Yeah. Hey, man, I appreciate you allowing me to be on your show tonight, man. Huge kudos to you, and thank you for allowing me to be in front of the 49ers Cutback community. Appreciate it. We got to do this more often. Looking forward to next year, and it's going to be a hell of a game. Quick question. What's your favorite food to eat on Super Bowl Sunday?
Oh, see, this is where it gets interesting. my normal go-to is I do tacos for almost every game. It's kind of like my ritual. But, you know, this time I think we're mixing it up. I think we're going brats and we're going like stuff like that. So it'll be different. Usually it's some sort of pizza. So Super Bowl is usually a little bit different when it comes to food. Yeah. But I don't know. It's going to depend on how I feel. Sometimes when the game starts going, I'm not even hungry anymore. I'm right, just like, right.
You're locked in.
Yeah, but I mean, the usual suspects, wings, pizza, stuff like that. I think those are always go-tos.
Yeah, same here. Pizza's a must every football game. It'll be no different this Sunday. Just a little bit more people and maybe a little bit more variety, but pizza's a staple for sure.
Yeah, and for sure, me and you, let's do it more. Let's stay in contact. I always enjoy our conversations, and this was a great one. I had a lot of fun. The good news is this is the biggest game of the year, and it's do or die. It's that moment. You got to win six. So I'm excited about this game, and yeah, we'll keep working together. I have a lot of fun when I work with you.
Hey, the feelings are mutual, man. Feelings are mutual. And Sunday, I wish the Niners and Chiefs could play tonight, man. Sunday can't come any sooner, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's getting to the point now where it's like, let's just get this thing rolling, right?
Let's play the game. Yeah, let's just play.
We're ready for it. Yeah, all the talk and stuff. Of course, come by the channel. I'm going to have lots of content this week, everybody. So still more content to get you ready for the game. And Jay, of course, I'll catch you again. Everyone, absolutely, make sure you like and subscribe to both channels, 40 Yards Cutback, Jay in the Bay. Go check it out. And also, you know, check out his stuff that he does, you know, straight out of the Bay. On Monday nights, they do a show, you know, Baller and Celts and Amin the Dream. Go check that out. Like and subscribe. Good guys doing good content. But I'll catch you guys in the next one. Until then, stay safe. Remember, the right way is always the 49ers.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.